What an awesome thing to sing about our God, to sing about the joy that we will have when we see our Lord face to face. You know, if you can believe it, Christmas is literally just around the corner. And as we've been making our way through this Advent season, it's been such an awesome reminder of the promises of God. You know, there's all kinds of cheesy cliches that we talk about, the reason for the season, and, you know, Jesus Christ is the greatest present, especially in the midst of times where people are so concentrated on what am I going to get for this person or what am I going to receive, that indeed this season is truly about Jesus Christ. It's about God who created the world and the world who rebelled against him, but then in his gracious plan, sending Jesus Christ, his only son, into the world to die for us, for you and for me, that whoever believes in him would no longer perish or be under the curse of sin, but be freed to be in relationship with God. And that is what we are speaking about, not just during the Advent season, but especially during the Advent season. We look forward to his coming. And he is so good. And so we've talked about his hope. We've talked about his peace. Things not of this world, but things that only truly he can give to us in our hearts. And today we're going to talk about joy. Now, everybody wants to have joy in their lives, whether you're a Christian or not. All of these things, people, humanity, they have a longing for, they have a desire for. But what we've been seeing is that it's only through Jesus Christ that these things can truly be had, that these things can be truly received. It's only through Christ. And so all the promises of hope, peace, as we're going to talk about today, joy, and then next week about love, as love literally came down into the world through Christ, all of it is through him. And today's message is going to be about joy, and it's about having a forward focus on joy. We're going to look at the book of Hebrews together in the Word of God, and it's Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 2 together. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. This is the Word of God. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, sit at the right hand of the throne of God. And one more verse in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 5, says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Let's pray together one more time before we get into the word. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for joy that comes from you. Lord, help us to learn to live in your promises, to live out our faith in our relationship with you. God, help us, especially those of us who are believers, and as a church, help us not to get caught up in the worldly definitions of hope or peace or joy or even love. Help us to look, as we are going to do today, to look into your word and what you teach us about these things and how your promises are so much greater. You never fail us in your promises. And so as we learn about this joy, as we're encouraged in this joy, as we're challenged to reflect and have this joy in our hearts, God, would you give that to us by your grace? Every single one of us may be touched by your love and receive your hope and peace. And as we talk about today, your joy that is everlasting. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if I were to ask you the question, what in your life brings you joy? What in your life brings you joy? What are the first things, you know, that kind of pop off at the top of your head? Now, you know, there could be all sorts of different responses, but I'm sure some of us are thinking, well, my family, you know, my wife or my husband brings me joy, or my children or my grandchildren bring me joy. So it could be relationships that bring us joy. Still others, maybe those who are very driven, it brings them joy to work hard to accomplish something and reach the goals that they have set for themselves. It might even be the holidays, right? The holidays bring me joy. I get time to rest and be with friends and eat good food. That brings me joy. Maybe serving in the church, being able to do something in church and serve others in some way. Maybe that's something that brings us joy. And, you know, let's be honest, maybe it's the newest gadget. You know, I don't know if you've heard, this PlayStation 5 has come out, and, you know, there's people buying it for its regular price and selling it for double, you know, almost 2.5 times its worth, because people are looking for joy to say, wow, I got a PS5, when they're so limited right now. So what is it that brings joy in your life? What in your life brings you joy? Now, the things that we've thought about, the things that we have maybe pictured in our mind. Now, I want to ask you the question, what happens when those things fail us? Do we still have joy? When our children disrespect us or act in a way that isn't loving towards us or thankful for our sacrifice and for the things that we've done. When our husband or wife, you know, when we're fighting, are they still giving us joy? Do we still have joy? When people, when situations, when accomplishments, when the things of this world that we oftentimes look to bring us joy, when they fail us, do we still have joy? And what we've been doing is contrasting in every week the joy or the peace or the hope that the world offers versus what God offers. You see, God gives to us a joy that is not circumstantial. It's not connected to anything or anyone that can fail us. It is connected to God himself. And he, even in his character, who he is, who can never fail us, who will always keep his promises, he gives us a joy. He offers us a joy that is everlasting and everlasting. Present. You see, he gives us a joy that is his gift to us, again, not determined by circumstances or the things of this world. And this is what I want us to focus on today. And in today's message, we're going to talk about this forward focus and perspective that we can have on joy. And I believe that it's going to help us. I hope that it'll help us to learning how to live, to learn how to live a godly life of joy in the midst of any circumstance that you may face. So we need this forward focus on joy. And what does that mean? Well, again, we all want joy in our lives, but much like hope and peace that this world offers, the joy that this world offers is temporary and fleeting and will fail us. And so we have to stop jumping on with what the world and culture deems as worthy of joy or the things that can give you joy. You see, we often equate this temporary feeling of happiness with joy. And so we go on this search. Oh, well, I felt joy when I got this or because of this person. And so we kind of go seeking these emotional highs, if you will, or these feelings of euphoria, good feelings when we experience these things. And so we just keep chasing after the next temporary joy. That's what the world offers. You just got to keep working for it, keep finding it, go to the next one. And God says, no, I want you to have a joy that you don't have to kind of keep looking this way and that way and having things fail you to find it. He wants to give us and offers us an eternal joy. And it's a joy that God has for us that surpasses emotions and simple present feelings. And again, it's not dependent on this world. It's a joy that is set both now and forever. So we have this forward focus. We're going to look at the first point, which is this. We're going to talk about this joy. The joy is set before us. Okay, so we're talking about forward focus. So we got to realize the joy is set before us. So we look at Hebrews 12, 1 through 2 again. And it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, this passage, it begins by challenging us as believers to fight on, to continue on in the walk of faith. Even when things get difficult, there is this encouragement that there's this cloud of witnesses. And what does that mean? It means those who have also gone before us, who have already passed, but have lived lives of faithfulness with God and experienced this kind of joy in their lives, not perfect lives, not lives, you know, void of difficulty and heartache and hardship, but lives filled with an understanding of who God is and therefore joy. And so there's this cloud of witnesses cheering us on in our faith. You're saying, yeah, keep on going, fellow brother or sister in Christ. Endure. But the part of the passage that I want us to really hone in on is that let's highlight this as it talks about Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. It says that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Now, as Christians, we know that we should be joyful always, right? You know, just raise of hands. Who here has heard, well, the joy in God is eternal and is different from the world's happiness? Who here has heard that before? I think all of us, you know, if we've been to church for any amount of time, we've heard this message before about, you know, joy of God eternal, joy of world temporary. So always saying, well, there's a difference between happiness, which is the feeling, and joy that we have from God. But let's be honest, right? Isn't it sometimes hard to resolve this truth and to actually live out this truth when we're in the valleys of life, when we are going through difficult situations? And I've seen many Christians get frustrated or even be ashamed or have guilt because they know this truth. Well, I should always have joy that's in the midst of every, you know, circumstance, no matter how difficult or hard it is. So why don't I have joy? Why don't I feel happy? Why can't I feel joy when I'm going through this difficulty in life? I've learned from the pastor, I've learned from the Word of God that I should have joy. So why don't I feel this joy? And sometimes people will even wonder to themselves, maybe I'm not believing enough. Maybe I'm not obeying well enough in my Christian living to feel the joy that God says that he has for me that is eternal. But I want to share something with you here that I hope is so encouraging and helpful. When we look at who this is talking about, Jesus Christ, he didn't feel joyful all the time either. Now, he did have the joy that was ever present, God the Father with him at all times. But look at this verse 2 again. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. So we're talking about Jesus. And then it says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, Jesus was not feeling happy and joyful. He was not feeling that as he prayed at the thought of the cross and all that he would experience. It was excruciatingly painful. It was heavy. He knew that it was going to be the darkest, deepest valley that he would ever experience in his humanity. Jesus being fully God, but being fully human, there was in him not a feeling of joy to say, wow, I'm going to the cross to die. No, he actually said, Father, if you would take this cup from me, yet your will be done and not my will be done. He knew what he'd experience. He knew what he'd go through, all of it. And yet he endured. And so why is it? It says, for the joy that was set before him. Now, this is the key that I hope that we will be able to look in on and relate to. God is not saying that when things are going wrong in our lives that we say, aha, I'm happy. I'm joyful that these bad things are happening or that these difficulties and hardships are coming. There is not that kind of expectation from God that you are happy-go-lucky even in the midst of difficult circumstances. But there's still this kind of joy that is set before us that we have to learn to grab a hold of, to have a perspective on. You see, Jesus, even though he knew what the cross would be, he knew the difficulties he'd go through, the joy set before him was, one, the incredible joy that he would have in being with God the Father, sitting at his right hand. There was also the joy of glorifying him in all that he did. That's why he says, not my will, but your will be done, the will of the Father. Obedience to him, the joy set before him to worship or to live, to do everything for God the Father and his will. And there was also the incredible joy that was set before him. He knew that if he were to go through this thing, he will give to us humanity, his grace and love, a way to the fullness of joy, this everlasting joy, by reconnecting us with God the Father. You see, there was this joy set before him. He had a forward focus that allowed for him to continue to retain the joy of God, even when he went through the most difficult, low, hardest times in his life. He endured the cross. He endured the cross. And this is, I want us to look at a couple of verses in Romans chapter 8. Now, this is the reality of also what is on the mind, the heart of Christ, the joy set before him. Verse 16 to 17 in Romans 8, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. You see, there is this joy that was set before Christ, but now we share in that same joy. That's why we can always have it, even if we don't feel it present, even if we don't feel it 24/7, the joy is with us because what we have to look forward to cannot be changed or altered by anyone because it's been guaranteed through Christ. He has made us children. He has made us heirs to the throne, right? What we read together today, that he's sitting now at the right hand of the throne of God. That actually is what we are co-heirs with. Can you believe that? That's what we have to look forward to. We're going to share in that glory with Jesus. And so there's that joy that is set before us as his children, as his co-heirs, as those he has loved and endured the cross on our behalf. So I want to ask you, what are you going through in life right now? I know this pandemic time has been really trying and difficult for all of us. And even in the midst of the pandemic, not just that, but many of us, you know, having lost loved ones, going through real life still, other things besides the pandemic. Our children, making sure that they're learning and growing and healthy. Our work still, whether you're, you know, still going in here and there or you're at home doing, you know, work from home. You know, all of us have so many different responsibilities and things going on and many things maybe that aren't going our way. And God doesn't say, hey, be joyful. What's wrong with you? Don't you know that you have joy? That's not what God does. He doesn't shame us or condemn us, but he points us to the word. He points us to himself, and he says, look, for the joy that was set before me, I endured the cross. And so whatever you're going through, there is a joy set before you as well. There's a joy set before you that's linked to me. Look forward to it. Have joy, because even in the present, when you don't feel it, it is with you, and you can keep looking forward, and that's going to help you to move forward and endure whatever it is you're going through and to trust in him with his joy. Second thing is this last point, just 2 points today. The joy is now and forever. The joy is now and forever. You know, there's something that, you know, I've heard this phrase, right? It's called the already, but not yet. already, but not yet. And that's kind of what, you know, this point mirrors, that the joy is both now and forever, is that we as God's people, as his children, we have this joy and it's set before us as well, but we won't know the perfect, pure joy until we see Jesus face to face. And that's what we're going to talk about here. So let's look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 5 again. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Now remember the words to rejoice always. Rejoice always. But don't miss the two words or three words, in the Lord. The joy that is everlasting and forever can only be found in the Lord. And so how can we rejoice always in the Lord? Well, we just talked about it in a previous point in Romans chapter 8, that we who believe in Jesus, we become children of God. And so for those of us who have faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, guess what? We're already in him. So presently, right now, we are forgiven children of God, co-heirs with Christ. Now, we might not always feel like that. We might not always even live like that. We're still imperfect. We still fall short of what God has made us to be as new creations. But no one and nothing can take us out of that identity that we have right now in the present. You and me, if we're believers of Jesus Christ, yes, indeed, we're his children. And because we know that, we can rejoice in the Lord because we are actually his children forever. What he has given to us by his grace, no one and no power in this world can take away from us. That means right now, even though we might struggle still at times with the sins of our flesh, even though we may lack the feeling of joy or trust even in God at times, because we are his, we can experience joy right now. Because nothing can turn us away from God because of what Christ has done upon the cross. Remember, he endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. And he accomplished the joy when he died on the cross and he rose again. And that's what we're united together with, that joy. And now we can have a forward focus as well, but realizing right now in the present, we are his children. So already his children, yes, already co-heirs, but not quite yet what we will be when we see Jesus Christ face to face, whether it's because we die and go to see him or when he comes back and we're going to be rid of all the sin in our hearts, all the shame in our hearts, all the temporary desires will be gone. And our greatest desire will be to just continue to know God and love him more. And I want to hear, or I want you to hear the promise of that nothing can take away the joy that we have or our relationship as children of God with God the Father. So Romans chapter 8 again, verse 38 to 39. This is what it says. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So presently, right now, we can say, God, I'm going through these difficult times, but thank you that even in my own failures, even when things of this world fail me, God, you tell me that nothing can separate me from your love. And God, there is joy that is present in knowing that even when I don't feel it, God, there's still a joy because I know that this reality, this truth is mine because of your grace, because of what you've done. And so when we see these words again in Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. We remember this is what it's talking about. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice because you are in the Lord. Rejoice because of the joy that he has given to you through what he has done upon the cross. And finally, this kind of second part of the now and forever. Now, how does the forever part work? Well, if you look in verse 5, it says, the Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. And what that means essentially is Jesus is going to return. He will return. And in this Advent season, as we look forward to his first coming as a baby, we celebrate this hope, joy, peace, love that came through Christ. But we remember also now and forever that the Lord is at hand. He will return. And so we get so wrapped up at times in this world to bring us joy, in the things of this world to bring us joy. And if that is the case, even as believers, then we lose sight of this forward focus on joy, the forever focus on joy. And so if we place our hope for joy in the things of this world, then when the things of this world go wrong, or when the things of this world fail us, or when nothing seems to be going our way, it's going to feel a lot like our life is over, that there is no joy present. We're going to feel like we're drained of all happiness and consequently our joy. And so we need to have this forward focus on joy, this eternal focus on joy. Joy is both now and forever. And so I'm not saying that it's wrong to have feelings and even deep feelings of grief and heartache and pain. But as it says, the Lord is at hand. So we show our reasonableness. We trust in him. We have this joy in the Lord. Rejoice always. And so what does it mean to show our reasonableness? It means that as believers of Jesus Christ, even when we experience the deepest of heartache or difficulty or hardship in our lives, we show our reasonableness in that there's something that anchors us. There's something that keeps us from, in one sense, going off the deep end. And that's this joy that we know is present in our lives. We may not feel it, but again, we look to the Word and we say, wow, I'm still a child of God. I'm still a co-heir with Christ. Jesus has secured this for me. And the Lord is at hand. What does that mean? There's going to be a time when Jesus returns, that I'm going to experience his joy to the fullest, like I've never fully understood now. Even though I'm his child, I'm going to experience a type of joy that just is going to, it's going to rock our world. So do you look forward to that? When Christ returns and in full, we experience the joy that he had set out for us. The Lord is at hand. What an awesome day to look forward to. Let's anticipate it. That's what Advent is all about. It's looking forward to what is to come. I hope this is helpful. Just this idea that we have to kind of force joy at times, you know, it's just so wrong. You know, when we're honest, when we're going through difficulty, it's okay to experience all the feelings of difficulty and hardship and suffering. Jesus did that upon the cross. But remember, the joy that is set before us is still there, always there. And so, yes, it's present, but we may not feel it, but it's coming. And how awesome it will be that no matter what situation or current circumstance is, we can look at our lives, we can look forward with that focus through a lens of joy. Romans chapter 5:2, I wanted to share from one last verse. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope, or rejoice in hope of the glory of God. You see, so it's connected again. We rejoice at what is to come, and it is forever, now and forever, secured for us through Christ. So as we continue with the Advent season, remember the joy that we have in Christ Jesus. Remember the joy that is set before us. We have so much joy, pure and perfect joy to look forward to when we will be with our Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever. And so we can endure and live through this life, through all of its ups and myriad of downs, with this joy, this reality of this joy that is always set before us. And so I pray that all of us would experience this joy, that all of us would have this forward perspective on joy, so that no matter what you're going through, keep on turning back to God. Ask him to remind you who you are, the present joy that we have in him that secures the future joy that is to come. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we so greatly anticipate the amazing joy that we will experience when we see you face to face. But even now, that joy is already ours. It may not be perfect and full as it will be when you return, when we see you face to face, but we have that now because you give us this joy that is set before us. Not something that we're working hard to get to, but it's set before us, but it's present in us because of who we are when we believe in you as your children and co-heirs to that throne that you are sitting upon. And it's by your grace, and we thank you for that. May this be the most joyful season, but our lives, may we be as Christians, the most joyful people, that even when we are going through difficulty in life, no matter what it may be, that we would look to you and this joy, and that you would fill us with it. Not that all the negative emotions will dissipate immediately, but that we will have a joy in knowing who we are and who you are, and the eternity of joy that we have set before us. We thank you and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll now go into a time